Hi, Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680, joined by Richard Justice, MLB.com. I think Houston whenever I see you. Yeah. You know, I still think of you in Houston. But MLB, tell me a little bit about what you do these days, because we see you on TV all the time.
Yeah, thank you, Marty. I still live in Houston, and but I just go around and write about baseball, and I go to games during the regular season. I go to owners' meetings in the off-season, GM meetings. And, you know, this is an important time of year because the thing you learn, some of it just by hanging around, getting a feel for the clubhouse, talking to the managers and all, it sort of sets a tone for everything. And so, you know, when Matt Cain throws a no-hitter on June 12th that night, and you have to write about it, you have some background on who Matt Cain is, what he means to the Giants, what he's worked on. So it's just information gathering at this point, but it's fun.
Part of what we love about baseball, it's 12 months a year, 7 days a week, where we talk about it every day. The CBA is coming up. The collective bargaining agreement is coming up. And there are some issues. You know, with social media today, we talk about these issues all year long. Change the schedule. Look at the travel. Look at compensation picks, how it affects a Dexter Fowler or Gallardo or Ian Desmond, the DH for the National League, replay. You know, there are issues out there. It's not quite that simple as the last one. Even though they're making tons of money, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, you know, and it's important to remember we had 21 years of uninterrupted labor peace, and that the game is growing, and the owners and players have figured out that when you're pulling on the same end of the rope, you know, I think in this time, overall revenues have gone from something like $1 billion to now approaching 10 or 11 billion, average salaries over 4 million. So yes, there are issues, the qualifying offer, the compensation picks, the travel, as you said, is an issue with some players. But beyond all of that, the larger picture is the game is in a very good place right now.
All right, let's take a look at some of the teams, some of the divisions. And again, you know, we don't see the dynasties really anymore. The young players are coming up more often. Everyone understands the bullpen now, the blueprint to which the Royals showed the last couple of years, which the Giants showed in their playoff wins. They never gave up a run in the bullpen. So what's the state of baseball today? Young players swinging for the fences and strikeouts and people throwing 97?
Well, the Royals may have something to say about that. You know, they were a contact team, a lower strikeout team. Here's the state of the game. Commissioner Manfred used this statistic the other day. In the last 5 years, 80% of the teams have been to the postseason, 24 out of 30. I think it's 18 out of the 30 the last 3 years. The average payroll rank has been something like 8 or 9. And on top of that, look at the generation of stars that we saw last year, Carlos Correa, Francisco Lindor. On top of this, these guys that are still young, Kershaw, Bumgarner, Trout, that we think of as they've been around so long and accomplished so much. So the game is riding a wave of young talent like never before, and it's influenced the way teams look at player development, in that if you challenge a player, you push him ahead, he can handle it. If you're right about the talent, he can do it. And that's one of the things that made the Giants a joy to watch last year, to have five homegrown players in the infield, which huge. I noticed this in 84 when I began covering the Orioles. There was a camaraderie among the players from the top of the organization to the bottom. They had been together in spring training. They had similar instructors, stops. It was almost like they were teammates before they were teammates. And I think that creates a very good environment.
Yeah, they called it the Oriole way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the Oriole way. And the other thing is they all looked at sort of Cal Ripken Sr. as a father figure, had learned the game from them. But look, that's part of what the Giants and the Pirates and the Royals have done. The first 5 years on the job for the new general managers, Neil Huntington and Dayton Moore in Pittsburgh and Kansas City, they lost over 90 games a year. How many times do you think the owner was told by people closest to him, hey, get rid of that guy, get somebody in here that knows what he's doing? The toughest thing in this game, and bullpen in focus may come and go, home runs, stolen bases, all that, but patience is something that is the toughest thing to learn.
Boy, and evaluation as well. Richard Justice with us. Great to have him on from MLB.com. The other thing I look at, analytics. have analytics taken over the game? And I say it this way. Look at the general managers who are hired. My goodness, they're just out of college. And the managers who are hired are people who've never managed before. And it may be that the front office can shake hands with them and they'll listen to what the front office says. But that, to me, is the biggest change I see.
Yeah, it's a factor. I think it's just more information gathering. You want to have every piece of information you can. You know, for instance, when the Giants won those three times, a lot of people wrote, this is a victory for old-time scouting and player development. The Giants use analytics deeply. They use it in every way. It's just that the Giants are very private about the way they do business, and it's also that you have the human element involved. The Giants are never going to get past the human element, the fact that the environment matters, that a player's tenacity and drive matters. And I think you're seeing some of that with the Royals. You know, I think character always matters in sports. But the analytics is fascinating. It's fascinating with the projections and all. The defensive alignments obviously have changed the way we think about it. So you're behind if you don't use it. Does it have to be the sole focus? Does the human element never matter? Oh, that's silly.
Yeah, it's just the Giants have a general manager, or they did until last year, who was 60. The Dodgers have a general manager who's 33.
Yeah, yeah, that is true, but I think regardless of your age, you have to understand that if there's a new avenue out there that can help you construct a game, construct a team, win a game, and all that. I saw it with the Astros, who they had a bunch of guys that didn't throw 90 miles an hour and convinced them, you know, basically to simplify it, you sometimes have to throw an 85-mile-an-hour fastball at the belt. And for guys who are taught to throw down, 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 that's a tremendous adjustment. But it's one of the things that's work, and it's changed the game. It's changed a lot of careers, you know, because the addendum to that is when you establish a higher part of the strike zone, you then now get the lower part. And to me, all of that stuff is fascinating about how hitters approach pitchers, pitchers approach hitters. That's the game within a game. It's, yeah, so, hey, look, and the human element comes into managing in a bullpen. Why is Bruce Bochy going to the Hall of Fame? One reason is the way he's managed those deep, great bullpens he's had for three Giants teams. And some of that is matchups, but some of that is understanding when a guy is ready, when it's time to get the starter out of there, and all of that.
Yeah, he reminds me of the old Earl Weaver. Earl had the cards, but he always had Grant Jacksoner, Eddie Watter, Dick Hall. He had these people ready at the right moment. If you can, look, people tell you, and Ken Mock taught me this years ago, if you can manage a bullpen, you can manage in the major leagues. Tony La Russa said the same thing. You show me a good bullpen, I'll show you a good manager.
Yeah, and I think, look, front offices are going to supply managers with all kinds of information. You have to figure out how to use that information, but there's still a human element. You know, you're only going to play 8 or 9 guys in the starting lineup every night, and you have to manage the other guys and just get a feel for where your team's at. Do they need to be pushed? Do they need to be pulled? And I think some of these guys, like, you know, Bochy obviously is the gold standard in that, but you see it as a commonality in every guy. I would watch Jim Leland before games, how he would walk the outfield and not really talk to players, but just listen and make sure they have something to say. John Farrell, I said to him a couple years last year, I said, John, why don't you go out in the middle of the clubhouse and get your dinner after games? And he said, well, I didn't think anybody noticed. He said, but you walk very slowly, you leave your door open, and you make sure that the players know. If you've got something to say in the emotional hot zone after a game, that you're there to listen. And he said, I think that's part of it.
Boy, well said. All right, let's take a look a little bit at 2016. Some of the favorites who you say, all right, the Cubs, boy, everyone's loving the Cubs, and like everyone loved Washington last year. How do you see this thing shaping up, at least sitting here in spring training?
Well, I think the American League is unique in that there are all 15 teams. I don't think this has ever been the case before. See a path to the postseason.
Yeah.
And probably maybe 10 out of 15 in the National League. I think, you know, I think the National League West is what it's always been. It's going to start with the Giants and Dodgers. Yeah. However you want to, whatever order you want to put them in, I think the Diamondbacks are better. And I think the NL Central, the Cubs, may be the best team in baseball. They're the fewest ifs. And I think the Cardinals love that, because the Cardinals love being discounted. You know, about the analytics are discounting the Cardinals. But the Cardinals have young guys like Piscotty and Grichuk, who there's going to be some internal growth there. And I just think we're in this landscape where the you saw it with the fury some the teams tweak their rosters over the offseason in that they see this as an opportunity.
Yeah, boy, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to ask you about the Red Sox, because Giant fans have an interest in Sandoval. The picture was shown of him last week looking overweight again, but everybody's picking the Red Sox to win. I just don't see it. I don't see the pitching yet.
Well, yeah, there are questions, and that's the thing. Like, every team has a yes, but. Tony La Russa used to say that the goal is to have the fewest ifs when you get to spring training, and they have plenty of ifs. What they do have, they constructed a deeper bullpen by adding Kimbrel and Carson Smith to Uehura and Tozawa. That's a good group. They have a number one starter. So, but it's still going to come down, who is Clay Buchholz? Can he stay healthy?
Yeah,
I don't think he's ever made 30 starts. The young guys behind that. But they have this group, apart from Sandoval and Ramirez, they have this young guys, Bogarts and Betts and Travis Shaw, yeah, and Bradley, that are just phenomenal to watch. And also, I think it comes down to who else you're going to pick in the AL East. I mean, you could make a case for the Yankees, harder case for the Orioles or Rays. Blue Jays, some questions about their pitching. It's really a coin flip.
Blue Jays. You know, when I think of the Blue Jays, I see the bat flip. I see Joey Bats. I'm telling you, he became the identity of the Blue Jays.
Such a sweet story. You know, five teams told him to take a hike, and he established himself as a star, both in the emotional, the face of the franchise, and to see it all work out, you know, to see Josh Donaldson have all that success, and those Marcus Stroman come back from after he was supposed to miss a whole year. And more than that, to awaken baseball in that city. That's what we've seen a couple of places, you know, last year with the Mets and the Astros going back to the postseason. It's a pretty cool thing to watch, and you could tell in Toronto last year they were into it.
Joey Bats, I like him. All right, you think we'll see baseball in Montreal and then in the exhibition season?
Well, the commissioner clearly wants to expand. So what has to happen is you get a plan in place for financing a ballpark. I think it will follow. Now, the first priority is to get the stadium situations figured out in Tampa and in Oakland. Those are two trouble spots. After that, I think as a philosophy, the commissioner believes that if you are in a growth industry, expansion is a good thing.
All right, boy, always great to catch up with you. I love talking ball with you, Richard Justice. MLB, I still say Houston Chronicle or wherever you were, but nice to have you on the show as always. Love to have you on during the season, too. Thanks again, Richard.
Thank you, Marty, always.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. Nice report. All right, more coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.